Bible class tonight is going to begin a discussion of one of the prophets, Jeremiah. He prophesied at a really troubled time in Israel's history. And a lot of the prophets did that. And as I was thinking about the beginning of Jeremiah, it occurred to me just how important it is to understand a statement that Isaiah makes. In Isaiah chapter 33, and beginning there at about verse 5, Isaiah provides some really important words for troubled times. Isaiah 33, beginning at verse 5, he says, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with his justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure." That's from the New International Translation. When Isaiah lived, and of course this was 700 plus or minus years BC, Judah was going through a very difficult period. Assyria, the kingdom from the north, is advancing on them, and they're conquering people after people, kingdom after kingdom. The northern 10 tribes, Israel, had been taken into captivity already, and now Assyria is coming against Jerusalem, which is the capital of Judah, the remaining two tribes. And the people didn't know where to turn because it just looked like Assyria was running rampant and nothing was going to stop them. Some of the people in Jerusalem said that they should just go ahead and give up, that they should submit themselves to the Assyrians. Other people said, no, we need to find a powerful neighbor that we can make an alliance with. And so they were looking to Egypt for some kind of military treaty that they could rely on that would protect them from the Assyrians. In the middle of all of this, Isaiah is sent by God, and he warns the people that they're not supposed to do either one of those things. Don't give up, and don't look for a powerful neighbor, but he says the key to everything is trust in the Lord. The Lord is going to provide the stability. He's going to provide what they needed to get through that difficult time. The New King James Translation in Isaiah 33 uses this phrase that wisdom and knowledge are the stability of your time. Some other the New American Standard Translation says that God will be the stability for your time. New International says he'll be the foundation for your time. Now, we don't live in that period of time. But what Isaiah said still rings true for us. We're facing perilous times. We're having to deal with the coronavirus. We're having to deal with awful things that are happening in our country. But I still think the stability of the Lord is what we need. Just think about the stability of everything that's going on around us. These difficult times have been going on forever. we sometimes think that our day and age is the worst that it could possibly be. And it's really not. In Job 14 at verse 1, Job says, mortals who are born of woman are a few days and they're full of trouble. It's a truism. We face sickness, we face death, we face natural disasters. Some are particular to our time, the novel coronavirus. It's never been around before. The threat of nuclear war has never been around in the way that it is today. Pollution, inflation, recession, unemployment, cancer, heart disease, road rage, drive-by shootings. Some things are ours. Some things have always been around. But I'm confident that in every time, people have had to deal with these feelings that the world was falling apart and it was coming crashing down around their ears. Now, those things affect that knowledge, and those things affect people in different ways. Sometimes people just go through life and they're kind of like me, fat, dumb, and happy, and it just doesn't occur to them that they ought to be concerned about those things. On the other end of the spectrum, there is such anxiety and fear that some people can't get out of their house. They shut themselves inside. And I'm not talking about taking reasonable precautions to avoid being exposed to coronavirus, but there is in some places a tendency to just shut the doors and stop interacting with the world around us. Some people get depressed. Some people just complain, and that's really all that they do. I had a friend one time that called that admiring the problem. And sometimes we just become joyless. We worry so much about the things that are around us that it seems like all of the joy is taken out of our lives. And then there are some people who, in spite of all of these things, seem to come through it unscathed. It's not like they never deal with financial setbacks. It's not like they never deal with disease. It's not like they never deal with uncertainty. But somehow, there are people who manage to find joy in all of this. I was thinking about my dad. You know, he came up to Alaska and visited me, and I managed to convince my dad, my sister, and her husband, or one of my sisters and her husband, that we ought to go on a fly-in float fishing trip. And we would fly out, and it would be great, and we would get to see everything that Alaska had to offer. We did. We flew out. Landed, we got the rafts put together. Well, quickly as we started putting the rafts together, we realized that the little foot pump that we had that was supposed to blow up the rafts wasn't going to work as easily as everybody said it was going to. And there were bugs. Like you can't believe there were bugs. Mosquitoes, no-see-ums. They chewed us to pieces. And then it started to rain. And it rained, and it rained. And all that did was it made the mosquitoes get underneath of the bill of your hat, because mosquitoes apparently don't like rain, but they still like chewing on me. So they'd get under the bill of my hat, and sometimes I would see 100 mosquitoes under the bill of my hat. Would try to get into the tent at night to sleep, and the mosquitoes kept you awake. And there was one person, in spite of all of that, who seemed to have a smile on his face all the time, and it was my dad. He just kept going on and on about what a good time he was having. And I was thinking, this is just miserable. This, it just couldn't get any worse than this. But he managed to get through it. What's the difference? The difference is that some people know the Lord is there. The stability that you get from God comes from wisdom and knowledge. That's what Isaiah said. It's wisdom and knowledge that's the key to facing life. In Proverbs, the second chapter, the wise man wrote this, beginning verse 6. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in blamelessness. For he guards the course of the just, and he protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you'll understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you. Understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from those whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked, who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you from the adulterous woman and from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who's left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death, her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of righteous. For the upright will live in the land. The blameless will remain in it. The wicked will be cut off in the land. The unfaithful will be torn away from it. God gives us a wisdom, a knowledge that lets us persevere. And by providing the comfort and the confidence that we need, God lets us have this joy. In Proverbs 3, beginning of verse 21, the wise man said, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, ornament to grace your neck. Then you'll go on your way in safety. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. The Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. God is still willing to provide this wisdom to anyone who seeks it. In James, the first chapter, beginning at verse 5, James gives us the key. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to you. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Give us wisdom and strength is a part of salvation. But we don't talk about that very often. The salvation that the Lord brings enables us to face anything. even death, if we know that the Lord is there with us, if we know that the Lord will preserve us, we can face any circumstance. Think about the example of the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, he talks about how he was able to get through all of the things that he had to go through. This is what he said. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we're clothed, we'll not be found naked. While we're in this tent, while we're living here, we groan and we're burdened because we don't wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling so that what is mortal will be swallowed up in life. Now, the one who fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. He says, therefore, considering all of this, we're always comforted. We are always confident, and we know that as long as we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. When you think about what that knowledge did for Paul, you have to read 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. He talks about what was happening to him. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In the eighth chapter of Romans, he says it this way, beginning at verse 31. What shall we say in response to these things, all the things that were going on around us? It's just this. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who can bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of God? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, sword, as it is written. For your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep before the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am convinced, he said, neither death or life, angels, demons, the present, the future, any power, height or depth, or anything else in all of creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wisdom and knowledge provide the stability that we need. What's the key? The key is the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is essential. Understanding who God is essential. It's the beginning of knowledge, he says in Proverbs 1 at verse 7. It's the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9 at verse 10. It's what causes us to approach God for his acceptance. The message of salvation is given to everyone. Some people don't respect who God is, and they don't seek that salvation. What's the fear of the Lord do for us? It keeps us from evil. Proverbs 16, verse 6. He makes two important points. A reverence for God in his righteous judgments is the most effective motivation. Now understand, when I say the fear of the Lord, I mean the reverence for God and his righteous judgment. It's not that I'm afraid that he's going to strike me down. I look for his righteous judgment. And that makes me depart from evil. You know, we were driving back up Interstate 5, and most of you who have driven Interstate 5, you know that there are people who will pass you periodically like their hair was on fire. You're driving the speed limit, and here goes a guy passing you at 90 miles an hour, even worse in California because you have to deal with motorcyclists who split lanes, and they come screaming up beside you, and it's almost like that jet that comes out of nowhere. They have no respect for the law. And because they have no respect for the law, they will do those things that create problems for themselves. You know, living in California, I was always impressed with the number of motorcyclists that are hit on the freeway. Well, why is that? It's because they have no respect for the law, and they do the things that cause them to get into trouble. The fear of the Lord, respect for God, reverence for what he says, causes us to want to depart from evil. It gives us a place of refuge. In Proverbs, the 14th chapter, verse 26, the writer makes, again, two really important points. When we turn to God, we find a secure refuge. This wisdom, this knowledge, the salvation, the confidence is what we seek. It's what we need. And then in Proverbs 14 at verse 27, wise man kind of concludes this whole discussion. It says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It's what I need so desperately. So let me draw this to a conclusion. The essence of what Isaiah is saying is this. Those who lack stability in troubling times lack that stability because they lack the wisdom and the knowledge and the salvation that comes from God. They lack those things because they have no reverence for God. A proper reverence for God causes them to turn to God, where they'll find wisdom and knowledge and salvation. And when they turn to God, when they recognize him, then they live a life that causes them to be comforted. Now, I'm not suggesting, and we will develop this idea more fully next week. I'm not suggesting that we serve God because it makes us feel good. And we'll talk about that more next week. But I am suggesting that when we serve God, we do not fear. This is the way that the apostle concludes this discussion. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter and at verse 6, the writer says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear." And the thing that he mentions there is, "I will not fear what man can do to me." So we'll continue this discussion next week. This will sort of set the stage. And next week, we'll be talking about Jesus reigning in our lives as King. We'll talk about that notion from our 2020 perspective, recognizing God's mission in sending Jesus to the earth, and then recognizing what that means to us.